The world is so focused, and countries even are focused on the large disasters, and we know those are costing a huge amount of money and lives lost each year, $350 billion a year in losses. But there are many, many disasters at the subnational level that are invisible, and actually our initial estimates suggest that those costs are even higher than the ones we're aware of. So those are almost invisible. And the other thing we're observing with climate change is that we're seeing more big disasters, droughts and floods, for example. But these smaller disasters are increasing very fast, and they're invisible. Money never comes from outside to support them because the media doesn't cover them. That's, for me, even more worrying. So, poverty. There are so many reasons why poverty is linked to exposure to hazards. This region has, I think it was 20% of the population in the region is living in marginal areas, in shanty towns. So those are places usually on the sides of mountains that are susceptible to mudslide, to landslides, or along rivers that are subjected to floods, or sometimes even along coastlines, which are vulnerable to storm surges. Those are people who are living very close together, where disease spreads more easily, and a pandemic or Zika virus could spread very rapidly. So there are so many connections between poverty and exposure to hazard that if we don't address poverty as part of our response to reduce disaster risk, then we will not achieve the objectives.
Yesterday you mentioned that it's necessary changing the mindset. Would you elaborate a little bit on this idea?
I think there are two aspects of human nature that I've observed that is relevant to this discussion. One is that I think it's part of our human nature when we've had a painful experience to try and forget it as quickly as possible. You know, when you've had a major disaster and you've lost family members, over time you still remember, but it goes away. That's one. And the second is when we don't like to think about the future. We like to think about now and have the now. And that worked for tens of thousands of years, those two things, in our history as humans. But with climate change, with 9 billion people, that is suicidal to have those two features. And disaster risk reduction is a tool to help overcome human nature, those two things. And you do that in three ways, mostly. One is you document the impact disasters have had in the past, so you can't forget. It's there. How much is this costing us in lives and money? Secondly, you project into the future with climate change and you say, what is our future cost going to be? Because the past isn't enough. The world's changing with climate, the cost will be greater. And then you're overcoming that second challenge of not thinking about the future because you have those two pieces. Then you bring them together as a core element of economic planning and social development. You say, okay, we know these things are here. Now we have to make different choices about how we spend our money, about how we think about risk. And that includes things like not building a hospital in a flood zone, building it somewhere else, or building codes or early warning systems. So those DRR, I think of DRR as a tool to overcome human nature so that we can have more people survive, and instead of losing hundreds of billions of dollars, use that money to fight poverty, for social safety nets, for education and development.
Now let's talk a little bit about Latin America. What is the situation in the region? Can we be optimistic about the future, a safer future?
I am very optimistic. Even in spite of the climate change challenge, I think we're going to overcome it, mostly because I think the evidence will become overwhelming very fast, the visible evidence. More storms, more disasters, melting glaciers, ice caps. We are seeing it. And eventually, even the deniers, their voices will disappear because it's so obvious. The other reason I'm optimistic about Latin America is because we've already seen a huge change of consciousness. We've seen major progress in countries to reduce disaster risk. To give you some examples, we saw with Hurricane Patricia in Mexico, the amazing evacuation, not a single life lost, according to the president, Mexican president whom I met a few weeks ago. In Chile, after the earthquake last year, there was evacuation of 1 million people. 1 million people evacuated from the coast is just amazing. And we're seeing here at this meeting, countries, ministers, high-level ministers are describing how their policies on risk reduction and their action has changed, evolved over the last 10 years. And you just see, it's really amazing to see the progress, the evolution. Now there's laws, there's legislation, there's coordination mechanisms. Of course, it's not perfect. And in any disaster, there will be people who are upset and complaining. But many countries are making very rapid progress. And I hope this meeting that finishes today, which will produce a declaration, Asunción declaration, and a work plan, is going to accelerate even more the transition to risk awareness and disaster risk reduction.